It's sitting in my notes. I'm just going to talk for a minute, and I might get back to them. I might go back and talk about the subject I was going to talk about this morning. But have you ever thought about how much the Ark of the Covenant must have weighed? I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. How much? We're talking about something that was covered in gold. We're talking about something that was had all, you know, and how much could that thing have weighed? I mean, it couldn't have weighed any less than the couch you have in your living room. I mean, that's just wood and some cloth and some pillows on it, but it can end up weighing quite a bit. Try to move it from place to place, and you'll figure out real fast that it weighs quite a bit. Now, think about picking that up and carrying that for hundreds of miles. Four men. I don't know how many of you in here have ever gotten on one side of a casket or not, but it doesn't matter if there's six of you. That's some weight. That's some weight. That's heaviness. And you've got six of you holding on to that thing, and all the funerals that I've been a part of, and you just people just don't run around. It's weight. It is heaviness. And we're talking about four men running rods through this thing, picking it up, and carrying it hundreds of miles with just four of them. Every day that they moved, they picked it up and they carried it. It doesn't matter if you pick up a child and you carry that child for very long, my back starts hurting, my shoulders start hurting. You pick up Jace. Jace is all there. And you carry him for a little while, and you're looking for a stroller. You're looking for a shopping basket. You want to put him somewhere. And because just that 30 pounds after a while is heavy. But these men were picking up the Ark of the Covenant, something that was laden in gold, and they were carrying it every day as far as anybody else was walking. They were carrying that thing. You see, you've got to understand, when you do it his way, he'll carry the load. When you say, all right, God, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I'm going to carry it. I'm not going to carry it like the world carries their problems. I'm not going to carry it like everybody else is carrying their problems. God, I give this to you. God, I want you to have this weight in my life. God, I've got to surrender this to you. God, I've got to let you have this in my life. God, I've got to allow this to be yours. God, I trust you with this. When those four men would look at that, at the Ark of the Covenant, and they would begin to think in their minds, how am I going to carry this all day long? Some of you think to yourself, how am I going to be able to move this from point A to point B? How am I going to get this up the stairs? How am I going to get this to the job today? How am I going to get through my job today? How am I going to be able to get through this situation? How am I going to carry this load? And Jesus says, I'll carry it for you. I'm not going to take it from you. See, sometimes there's an old song that sings, you're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you. Sometimes we've got to realize that you're so vain that I bet you think this trial is about you. I bet you think that what you're going through right now is just all about me. It's all about what's going on in my life. I have a friend, a good friend. His name is Jake. Jake is a big cowboy. Jake's probably 6'4". And when I say cowboy, I'm not talking about rhinestone cowboy. I'm not talking about weekend cowboy. I'm talking about cattle drives, goes out, chases cows, cowboy, has a bedroll, sleeps outside for a month at a time, cowboy. I'm talking about a man. I'm talking about a grown man, 6'4", probably weighs 300 pounds, barely has an ounce of fat on him. I'm talking about a man that grabs up cows, picks them up, throws them down, and brands them just because he can. I'm talking about a man. And this man was going through a divorce. His wife had done all kinds of things to him, and it was crazy. Nobody saw it coming. They were both trying to live for God, and it was just a mess. She got all messed up on drugs and all kinds of different things, and things I wouldn't even feel right about talking about from a pulpit. And so here he is, and you've got, if you ever have to go to court for something like that, the chances of the man getting the children are slim to none. The chances of the man being able to get the children, she's really got to have some problems for them not to get the, for different things. And so he's got all of these young children, and he begins to go through this battle. He begins to go through all of this stuff, this war that's going on in the courtroom, and she's lying and telling stories and making stuff up and calling him abusive and all of these different things. And here he is trying to live for God, bringing his kids to church, trying to get his children saved, trying to make sure that they have a godly home, trying to raise these four kids all by himself, trying to make sure that everything's going to get food on the table, trying to figure out how he's going to go to work and do his welding job and get off in time to pick his kids up from school and get his kids to school and get to work on time. All of these things. How in the world am I going to put all of this together? And he had a friend that was going through the exact same thing, a friend that was struggling with the exact same situation. That it was almost like their lives were parallel at that moment in time. And they would call each other and they would talk and they this is what's going on in my court case. This is what's going on in my court case. This is what's happening here. This is what's happening there. This is what's going on in my life. And they were kind of sounding boards. And he said he remembered the day that he walked out of the courthouse and the judge awarded him everything. He'd gone, it'd taken a year of all of this battling, and he comes out of the courthouse and the judge had awarded him everything. She was going to have to pay him child support. He got the kids. He got everything in this court battle, and it was just a miracle how it all worked out. And he comes out of the courthouse. He is jumping. He is shouting. He's coming down the steps. He's just excited. And his friend is standing outside. He's there to meet his lawyer. Things were going on that they were. And he asked him, he said, what happened? And he began to go through his story of what had just happened and how God had intervened because his children were going to be in I can't even explain the situation they were going to be living in. And he began to tell him how awesome that God was. And this man just began to weep and he began to cry. He began to sob, another grown man, a man's man, standing there on the courthouse, almost to his knees, just hunkered over, just shaking and weeping uncontrollably. He said, at that moment, I realized that everything that I've been going through, I made it all about me. He said, but it's not always all about me, he said, because there's other people that are watching me go through what I'm going through. There's other people. See, so many times we think that the situation that I'm walking through right now is all about me. We think that the situation that's going on in our lives, it's our struggle, it's what we're going through, that it's all about my situation, it's all about me, it's all about, and we make it about us. We tell everybody about it. We make sure that everybody knows what all we're going through. We make sure that everybody understands how bad it really is in our lives. We make sure that everybody understands all of the things that are going wrong in our lives. And God's sitting there saying, you don't understand. If you will just pick up, I don't care how heavy the load is, I don't care what you think it is. I don't care if you wonder why this is your job or this is your burden to carry. If you will pick it up and you will trust me, I will help you carry this load. I don't care how far you have to carry it. I don't care if it's for a week or a month or a year or 10 years. If you will trust me, I will help you carry this load. If you will trust me, I will help you carry this load. But you don't understand, there's no way we can walk 1 mile, much less 18 miles with this load. If you will pick it up and you will trust me, I will help you carry this load. But I'm standing in front of a river and there's no possible way that I can swim across this river with a load like this. And God says, if you will just trust me, If you will just carry it, if you will just step out into the deep, if you'll just say, God, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know where the flow is going to take me. Nobody else is in the middle of this like I am. Nobody's carrying a load like I'm carrying this load, but I'm going to step out into the deep. I'll step out into the midst of this river, even though I don't understand where I'm going or what I'm doing. I'll step out into the midst of this flow when it feels like it's going to sweep me away and I'm never going to get my mind back. I'm never going to get my family back. I'm never going to be able to make sense of what's going on. And God says, trust me. Trust me. This is a deep river. It's in the middle of the rainy season. Why didn't you bring me here when it was in the middle of the low season? Why didn't you bring me here when everything looked normal? Why didn't you bring me here when we would have had a chance to get across this possibly? And even if we just held it up high enough, we could still touch the ground for a little while. But you've brought us here in the most dangerous time of all. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Job. Sometimes we don't think of it this way, but Job actually lived when Abraham lived. Job was not after all of that other stuff. Job lived when Abraham lived. He was one of the first, but he was actually the first of the book of the Bible that was ever written, Job was. Well, because it's written towards in the middle of the two-thirds of the way in, we all just factored in there. But Job was actually one of the first books of the Bible that was ever written. Job went through some stuff. Job had no clue why he was going through what he was going through. He had no clue why he was struggling with what he was struggling with. He was a good man. He was a man that even God would look at and say, that's my servant Job right there. And Satan's like, well, you won't let me touch him. He was a good man. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that had a prayer life. He was a man that was trying to do things right. He was a man that was going to an altar every day to pray for his children. Read about it. He made sacrifices for his children every day. He was constantly trying to help. He was constantly trying to do what was right. And in one moment's time, everything was taken from him. In one moment's time, everything was hurt. Everything was destroyed. Everything was swept away from him. In just a few moments, his servants keep running up and saying, this happened. We lost this. Marauders stole this. Your family, tornado hit the building and they're all dead. And so here he is sitting there wondering what is going on. And not only does he lose everything, but everyone that is even close to him turns on him. He doesn't have a church. He doesn't have a family of believers to come to on a Sunday and at least get a shot in the arm, get his faith stirred up, get excited about. He's there all by himself. And even his friends are saying, what'd you do to deserve all of this? What did you deserve to get this? Why don't you clean out your closet? We're going to talk a little bit about that in the next service. Why don't you just lay it all out for us? Why don't you just let us all know all of the deep, dark sins that are in your life that you deserve what you're going through right now? Job just says, I don't know what to explain to you. I can't tell you why I'm going through what I'm going through. When his own wife comes to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die. His own wife who has no future without him. His own wife who has nothing left. His own wife who doesn't have anything. She doesn't have anyone to work. She doesn't have anyone. She is in such a low place she can't even think of her own future. And she looks at her own husband and says, just curse God and die. And Job makes this statement in Job 13 and 15. Though he slay me. God, if you kill me in the midst of this storm. God, if I never come out
on the other side of this river Jordan. God, if it's like this forever, God, if it doesn't ever lift, if I never feel the peace that I so desire to feel, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Oh, what are you saying, Job? I don't understand, but I'm going to keep carrying this load. And I'm going to keep carrying it with him. Job, you're covered in boils. I don't understand, but I'm going to keep carrying my load because I've got to maintain my own ways during the midst of this trial. This isn't a time for me to backslide. This isn't a time for me to curse God and die. This isn't a time for me to begin to look for something else. This isn't a time for me to find a place that seems more comfortable. It isn't a time for me to try to remove myself from the situation. It isn't a time for me to take my own life just to find peace. It's time for me to maintain and carry on. How are you going to carry that? I have no idea. All I know is that it's mine to bear. And until God removes it from me, until he builds that precious place for it to lay, it's my job to maintain. Israel was in slavery. Israel found themselves in Egypt, blessed beyond measure. They found themselves in Egypt with all of the gold and silver and food that they could imagine. Because of Joseph's relationship with the Pharaoh, they were blessed and highly favored. But the scripture says that there came a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. He didn't have a clue who Joseph was and didn't care who Joseph was. Joseph didn't impact his life as far as he was concerned. And this Pharaoh began to realize that he had all of this free labor there, and he began to imprison and enslave the Israelites. They built pyramids. They built palaces. They worked like animals. And in the midst of this trial, do you know whose story they told to give each other faith in the midst of their battle? They told each other the story of Job. When they would sit down at night, and their children would come in and they would have stripes across their back and they were bleeding and they would begin to soothe those sores. They would begin to tell them about a man that lost everything, but God knew exactly where he was in the midst of that battle. There was a man that went through a trial that he had lost everything that he ever loved and ever wanted, but God had his hand on his life. And even at the moment when he would say, everybody else said, curse God and die, he would say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We never quite understand why we've got the load, but all I can do is trust him and maintain. Because you never know that the very story that's being told in your life now is the very story that's going to bring everything full circle. You don't know if what you're going through right now is the very story that's going to ensure that you walk on streets of gold. You never know that the very story that you're going through right now is going to ensure that your children are going to walk on streets of gold. You never know that the story that you're going through right now, the load that you're carrying, that you're trying to figure out how to get rid of and how to make it easier and try to put on something
something else and try to get something else to carry it and try to figure out how all of technology and medicine and everything else is going to fix all of my problems and try to get everything else figured out. You have no idea what God is really doing in your life because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows the beginning from the ending. He knows what we need and what we don't need. He knows where we'll be 10 years from now and where our children will be 10 years from now. He knows every situation that's going on in our world and in our life, and there is nothing that is a surprise to Him. And even though I don't understand, how are you doing this? I have no idea. Terry Knotgrass, diagnosed, I believe it was stage 4 breast cancer. She waited too long. She knew something wasn't right. She knew something was wrong, but she didn't want to go to the doctor. And living without knowing is better than knowing sometimes. And finally, when she went, they were like, oh, good luck. I'm a single wife. My husband left me. I have nobody. My daughters, one of them lives far away. The other one is busy. She can't help a little, but I'm all by myself. And on top of that, I've got the load of the church. She was the bookkeeper at the church. And I've got the load of the church. And I've got the load of my job. She worked at a funeral home, was high up in the funeral home. I can't take any days off. I have bills. I have house notes. I can't do this. And she would walk into the chemo building every week, and she would sit there and watch people puke and throw up and lay in the floor, and she would think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to carry this? And she would carry that cancer into chemo. And somehow when she would walk out, when others were being carried out, she would walk out to her car and she would drive herself to work. And she would work all day. And even though her stamina was down, she was still able to keep up with everybody else that was going on. And in the midst of everything that was going on in her life, she hardly ever missed one day of work. She never needed somebody else to drive her and drop her off and to pick her up, because there's something about trusting Jesus. God, I don't have anywhere else to turn. God says, I'll help you carry this load. God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, there are people that sit under the sound of my voice this morning that have loads that they do not understand. There are people that sit in this room today that are carrying things that they don't understand why. But Lord God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, even though we might not understand it until we get to the other side of glory, even though we might not understand it until we stand on the other side of Jordan and we look back, Lord God, I pray that you would give us the strength to maintain. I pray that you would give us the strength, oh God, to get up every morning, pick it back up, and say, God, I trust you. I'm going to carry this load until you see fit to move it. I'm going to carry this load because I trust you. Ianasi. God, I trust you. God, it's not all about me. It's all about you. God, I trust you. God, I'd rather give this weight to something else. I'd rather put it on a cart and watch an ox carry it. But that's not the way that it's going to get me where I need to go. I'm going to carry it myself with your help. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Isata yoralasi. Isoko yoralasi. There's somebody in this room that you just need to reach up and say, God, here I am. God, hold me. God, here I am. God, I need your strength. God, here I am. God, I need you to touch my mind. I need you to touch my spirit, God. I need you to give me strength in the midst of the storm. God, I'm looking at the River Jordan, and I have no idea how I'm going to cross it. I have no idea how I'm going to make it. God says, trust me. They just went out and they stood in that river. I can't remember the distance at the exact moment right now, but it was like 20 miles upriver. The river stopped. 20 miles upriver. I have to go. I don't have any notes. 20 miles upriver. I can't remember the name of the city that the water stopped and began to build up like a wall. It wasn't like the children of Israel when Moses held out his rod and it parted right there in front of them and it was instant and everybody was like, woohoo, and they begin to cross. We're talking about the rainy season, something that is impossible. And here they are standing in the River Jordan and all of a sudden there was something that changed just a little bit. The pressure was a little bit different. Something was a little bit different. I don't know how long it took for that water to flow 20 miles at just 2-3 miles an hour. I don't know how long it took before all of a sudden they begin to see progress. I don't know how long it took before they begin to realize that something was changing in their life. But all they could do is stand there with that weight and stand and trust in God. And they didn't know that God was working in the midst of their situation at that moment in time. They couldn't see 20 miles upstream that God had literally stayed that water and a wall was built up and the people of that city were looking at it wondering, what in the world is going on? And God was saying, I'm being God in their lives. You may not understand it, but God's saying, I've already got it under control. I've already stopped the flow upstream. I've already got everything in place. I just need you to trust me. I need you to pick up your load and step out into the River Jordan and say, God, though you slay me, I will trust you. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm going to maintain. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm going to maintain. I don't know why the doctors told me what he told me, but I'm going to maintain. I don't know why I'm feeling the things that I'm feeling, but I'm going to maintain. I don't know why this depression has gripped me so strong, but I'm going to maintain. All of a sudden, what's going on? It's dry from here to there. What's going on? Something's happened. I can't see what's going on. It doesn't make sense, but God's saying, trusted me, and I've got it all under control. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, you are good. God, you are good. God, I might be in pain right now. You're a good God. God, I'm going through the biggest trial of my life right now. That might be your prayer this morning, but God, you're a good God. God, I don't know where I'm going to be in 8 months. God, you're a good God. God, I don't understand what's going to happen with this situation. The doctors told me that things have changed. My health is turned for the negative. God, you're a good God. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. How are you keeping your faith, sir? Because I just watched someone that I go to church with go through something worse than what I'm going through. And I saw them Sunday as they walked into the house of God with their hands raised and tears flowing down their face. And if they can be strong, I can carry on. I've got to maintain because you never know who's watching. I may not understand why, but somebody's always going to be blessed. Something's going to happen. Something's going to go on. How are we going to get through another day of slavery? Because there was a man named Job who went through far worse than what we've gone through. And he came out on the other side and prospered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's speaking to somebody this morning. God's speaking to somebody this morning. Quit trying to do it all by yourself. Quit trying to do it all by yourself. I got to give it to him. I've got to give it to him. I'm about to mess up my next sermon just a little bit. But you've got to understand that it is possible for you to pray prayers and your prayers to be all about you and not have anything to do with God in those prayers. It is possible for you to spend hours praying and not ever pray. Because as long as my prayers are all about me, hear me out. Just act like you hadn't heard it before when I get up and begin to preach it a little bit. You see the publican and you see the priest and they walk into the temple. And the scripture says the priest stands afar off and he prays to himself, the scripture says. He mentions God, but he never prays anything to God. It's all about him. I'm better. I'm good. I'm all right. I is his whole prayer. And the scripture literally says he prayed to himself. And the other man stood in the corner and said, God, I need thee. God, I need thee. God, I can't do this by myself. God, I've got to have you in my life. God, forgive me of my sins. God, I'm a wretched man. God, I've got a weight in my life that I can't carry all by myself. God, I humble myself before you. Not my will, but thy will be done. God, I'm at an altar and I don't understand, but thy will be done. God, I'm carrying a load that I can't carry all by myself, but thy will. Not I, thy will be done. Jesus is in this place right now and he's trying to wrap his arms around somebody. He's trying to wrap his arms around somebody in this room today that he needs you to understand. He knows exactly where you're at. Pick up that ark one more time and say, God, I'm going to carry it through the River Jordan. Pick up that ark one more time and make up your mind. I'm going to maintain because there are people that need me. I'm going to maintain because there's a reason for this trial. I'm going to maintain because God doesn't do anything by accident or for fun. I need to maintain because I am going to stand on streets of gold one day. And if this is the situation that gets me there, then I embrace it, and I'm going to carry it with a smile in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Quit making it all about you. Thy will, God. Thy will. Thy will. Thy will. In Jesus' name. Amen.